So I am privileged this morning to have a guest speaker that has come over the years. He's come back to Hillside over and over again. And he always brings a powerful, powerful word that shapes the way our church moves. He's a preacher, he's a teacher, he's a missionary. And it's a pleasure to welcome him back to Hillside this morning. Why don't we honour him as he brings the word of God, Pastor James Goss.
Good morning. What a joy to be with you this morning. Man, I love the church. I walked in this morning, I saw Jesus and something leapt in my heart. Congratulations to the team. It was fantastic. Absolutely. And the worship was wonderful. The prayer in the room, we had such a good time praying. I didn't want to come out. I said, do we have to? No, only joking. Get along Monday night. I believe this church carries an anointing for prayer. In fact, before I preach this morning, I want to share something. I was in a prayer meeting here a couple of months ago. Hope WA hosted a 24 prayer, and I'm on the board, and I just love to pray. So I came along, and the Lord gave me a vision of something which actually scared me to start with. It'll make sense in a moment. And I didn't have a chance to share it. And as I was preparing for this morning, I felt I was to bring that word. Is that okay? So as I was praying, I saw something that frightened me. And what scared me was, you'll understand in a minute, if people are wired like me, it was if I can have the slide on, it was a quadratic equation. It was a quadratic formula. I was never good at quadratic. In fact, this wasn't if I can have the next slide on, it was like this. There was all sorts of things, and I thought, Lord, what are you trying to torture me? Do I have to go back to school and learn this? And as I meditated, and I felt the Lord say, each one of these problems represents people in their situations. Each person would be represented with complexities of different issues. And I thought, okay, that's good, but what do I do with it? And then as I looked a little bit further, I began to see that the answer was to each one of these, if I can have the next one. Well, actually, this was someone actually said this on an exam paper. They put Jesus is always the answer. Not on this question. Friends, the answer, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to every complication, every situation. Now, I know at one level that's that's not very profound. But, you know, it is profound at another level. And I want to say this morning that no matter what situation you're facing this morning, no matter how complex it is, no matter how difficult and overwhelming, Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. And as we were praying this morning in the room, I began to get a vision of Jesus. But you know, why this stands out so clear is we've had a good backdrop. If you come into the church, it stands out. But what I felt what happened was that sometimes in our lives, while we're aware that Jesus is the answer, the backdrop is clouded with all problems and situations and Jesus is out of focus. He's out of focus. But as we come into his presence, we can refocus. Yes, those problems are still there, but they're not in focus. They're out of focus, and Jesus is in focus. Amen? He is in focus. And, you know, that's so simplistic, yet profound in our lives. And maybe some of your students have finished your exams. No, Jesus is not the answer on that one. You will lose marks. But he is the answer to every situation that you and I face. Okay, let's come to the word this morning. I think the next slide. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we declare this morning that you are the answer. Forgive us, Lord, where you come out of focus and we focus on the problems. We get overwhelmed by the situations. We get, Lord, just fear and hopelessness and despair. But I pray that this morning, and particularly this season, that we would allow the Spirit of God to refocus our lives, that we would bring Jesus into focus. And as you are in focus, the hope of the world, the overcoming one, Lord, the fears, the despair, the doubt will disappear, hallelujah, as we're filled with who you are. Amen. The God who sends. You know, I forget who said it was, but they said, you know, if you were to summarize the whole Bible in one verse, it would be this one. If I can have the next slide. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A simple verse we all know, but so profound. We serve a God who sends. 1 John 4 says this way, and I'm going to flick through a few verses. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And at this time of Christmas, as we look at that wonderful nativity scene, we're reminded that we sent a God. We serve a God who sends. A God who sent the best that he had. And you know, I love each Christmas. I love to read through the Christmas stories in the gospel, because each time there's a greater sense of the profoundness of a God who sent his Son. You know, and I'm enriched even this year as I, where I'm currently working in aged care, and you know, to be able to share the magnificent truths, the new truths about what it means to have a God who sent. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples and brought many understanding. But the last recorded message to his disciples, I believe, is significant. And it's recorded for us in John chapter 20. And we will have that. Jesus came and appeared amongst them and he said, peace. Now they were a little bit afraid. I'm glad he says peace to us too. So Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now we know that. And I've preached on this before, but in recent times, God has brought forth to me a new understanding of what that means. You know, it's one thing to go to the ocean and dip our feet in. Another thing to get in, but it's another thing to actually swim in the ocean. And there's different levels of truths, different levels of revelation. And I believe that God is speaking to us about what it means to be sent ones. In exactly the same way, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. I'm sending you in exactly the same way. The word sent is the word derived from the Greek word apostolos, which means simply someone who sent. An apostle is someone who sent. You and I are sent ones. If you were into business cards and you wanted to impress people, you could put at the bottom your name and an apostle. Maybe wouldn't impress too many people, but that would be right. Maybe a good reminder. I am an apostle. I am a sent one. I am one. This is who my job description is. This is the reason I live, because I am now a sent one. A sent one is one who not only was sent by someone in authority, they pass on some certain information, but more than that, they carry the authority of the one who sends them. They carry the authority. And I think we've forgotten them. Sadly, we never really understand the significance of what it is to be sent ones. You know, around 45 years ago when I was married, my wife and I went on our first overseas holiday. It was magnificent. Those of you around in that era, there was the Centaur travelling up to Singapore, and we booked our tickets. I had to get a passport. It was an exciting new adventure. We jumped on board the ship, the Centaur. Tragically, it wasn't a good memory for my wife. We found out she doesn't have good sea legs. She spent most of the time in the cabin and being sick. Being a seaman myself, I was up in the waves and the whole thing. Several days later, we knew we'd gone overseas because apart from the ocean, we began to smell the smells of the tropics. We began to feel the heat. We began to smell the smells as we came into Singapore. And as we got off the ship, guess who was there to meet us? No one. No one was there. We were just one of hundreds of people that were taking a cruise into Singapore, and we spent some days and went forward and had a good time. Well, she was glad that we landed. That was the best part of the Trump honeymoon, I think, for my wife. Fast forward 11 years, I went overseas again. We went overseas. This time we went not by ourselves, but we went with the Australian government. I cracked a job. I was in telecommunications, and I still don't know how I got it. I don't know how I got it, but I know who was behind it. I said to God one day, if you get me this job, it was way out of my league, I'll serve you in a wonderful way. I was a good Catholic. I was going to be in the Catholic Church. In fact, I was going to be a priest. The only thing I got was the hairstyle. I was no good at Latin. They said, you'll never make a priest. Your Latin is no good. So I said to God, if you get me this job, I'll serve you. I had no idea. Be careful on deals you make with God. I thought I'd help him in the church handing out the newsletters or something. That would really help God out. Little did I know. But we had cracked this position, and it was part of a diplomatic service. So I was with a diplomat with the Australian government. When we arrived in Fiji, first of all, I had to change my passport. They said, the blue passport's no good. You'll have to get a red passport, a diplomatic passport. Wow. And then, of course, you're flying business class. We'll upgrade you to first class. When we arrived in Fiji, there wasn't the red carpet and the brass band, but there was the High Commissioner there to meet me. Nice car, took me to the best hotel in Suva, and we looked after us. See, the first time we went, the second time we were sent. We were sent by the Australian government. Part of going to it, I was reminded, I had to do some lessons, what it was to be part of the diplomatic corps, that when I went to different nations, and I was working in 12 countries of the South Pacific, I was the representative. For some people, I was the first Australian person they'd ever met. I was representing Australia. Quite an awesome thing. Friends, you and I are sent once. You and I have been sent by the Father. And you and I have been given authority as well by the Father. He just didn't send us and go, He equipped us. Wow. What would happen if we really understood that? What would happen if we really understood that all of the resources of heaven are mine? And that this is not my idea, this is the Father's idea, that I have been sent in exactly the same way that the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, you and I maybe not be sent to a foreign country, although I know this church is a very strong and passionate mission-sending country, and you've done so much, and you'll never realise the impact that you have in missions. Thank you for those that still support and pray for the China ministry that I was involved in for many years, and I passed that over, and now involved in Mongolia, and some of you support. I was this morning finalising my newsletter for my Mongolia ministry, and that was 17 years ago. Where have all the years gone? And it's amazing just to serve in these nations that, you know, that they've only had the gospel for, well, I think in Mongolia, 23 years. And the Bible Society recently put out a report that said it's the fastest growing church in the world today. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. You know, no Christians 23 years ago. Today, anywhere between 80 and 100 million Christians, but that level of growth. And what's more, what excites me is that within their DNA, they are a missionary sending. I can't believe it. They sent people into Russia, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, back into China, into Jerusalem. I said, who preached the gospel to you? Who preached missions? Because I want to get a hold of their notes. They said, brother, no one preached missions to us. We realized in the early 90s, when communism left here, if God hadn't sent missionaries, we never would have had the gospel. We have a responsibility. We have to give it away. I'm thinking, wow. We have to give it away. We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to give it away. Because there are people in the nations that have never heard that God sent his son to die. Oh boy, so thrilling to be in that. I come back, I go sometimes and I think, am I saved? Friends, you and I are the sent ones. Maybe not overseas, but we're sent to the neighbourhood. We're sent into our workplaces. We're sent into our colleagues, into the supermarkets, into the delis, to live those who are in boardrooms. We are the sent ones. What would happen if you and I really took hold of this? If we awaken to this? You know, the Gospel of John could well be called the Gospel of the Sent One. At least 40 times in the Gospel, I'm going to flick through a few scriptures, if we can have the slide up again. I'm going to flick through a few scriptures very quickly, because this was the understanding that we have. Next slide, if I can, and the next one, and the next one. Hello? Didn't work. All right, it'll come up, I'm sure. You know, as he was asked many times, who are you? Who are you? In chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, and 12, Jesus reaffirmed that he, the Father, had sent him, that he'd sent him to earth to fulfill a mission. In John 17, verse 3 and 4, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you've given me to do. John 17, verse 20 and 21 says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who believe in me, that through their word that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Again in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. You get the idea. Jesus was making something very clear, just in case they didn't get it the first time. I'm not doing this of my own will. This wasn't my idea. The Father sent me. My authority comes from the Father. And you and I can only begin to ponder what it cost Jesus to be obedient to fulfill the mission of his Father on earth. He was obedient despite knowing that it would cost him the rejection, the humiliation, the pain, the misunderstanding, the crucifixion. But he willingly bore it for you and I. Even when he was in the garden, he said, Father, as he contemplated, if it's possible, let this cup, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I wonder if we could come to that place. Lord, whatever cup that you have been given to drink, Lord, let this pass, but nevertheless, I want you to be glorified, Father, in the midst of this. The other thing that Jesus made very clear, because he was challenged about it, the scribes and the Pharisees never liked that he was sent from the Father. How dare you say the Father sent you? And so he tried to get it to them another way. And in John 14, verse 10, he said this, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Ha ha! It's the Father's authority. He not only sent me, he gave me his authority to do what I'm on. You know, when we understand that Jesus sent us in exactly the same way with his authority, so significant is this sending that when people receive us, they receive the Father. Jesus made it clear in John 13, verse 20. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Wow, this is a package. When people receive you and I, they just don't receive us, they receive the one who sent. You've experienced that, haven't you? I know in my early Christian walk, when I sensed people, particularly it was YWAM people in Fiji who began to challenge, I thought, man, there's something. This is not just human. There's something more in them. Well, what was it? I was receiving the Jesus. You know, the question is, can you and I get out of the way so that they'll receive the Jesus whom the Father has sending? Hallelujah. When we see that Jesus gave the same authority to his disciples to, and to us when he left. The familiar passage in verse chapter 28, Matthew 28 and verse 18, it says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, even until the end of the age.' All authority has been given to me. Now I'm sending you. I'm sending you not only with the message, but I'm sending you with my authority. I'm sending you, I've given you authority." And you and I have experienced a measure of that at times. And praise God for that. But friends, God is awakening his church in this hour to the authority that God has given them. You know, and I'm speaking to myself because I've been content with a measure of it. But I sense in this hour a word that keeps coming round and different prophetic. God is accelerating. He's accelerating in the earth today. We're seeing the acceleration in terms of technological breakthroughs, aren't we? Scientific breakthroughs. You no longer buy something and it's out of date. This acceleration in terms of break. God is doing that. And you sense a stirring in your heart? I do. There's a stirring in my heart. We're seeing an acceleration in the world with things, and nations are being shaken and boundaries and things are being shaken. Hallelujah. But God is in charge. He is in charge. And his acceleration is faster than the world's acceleration. He is going to eclipse them. He's going to break forth. He's going to. But how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through you and me. He's going to do it because there's an awakening. There's a stirring within people to say, I'm not just content to be sent, but there's a stirring in my heart. Father, the authority that you've given me, I want to release. I want to release. I don't want to just see miracles now and then. I want them to become through powerful way. You know, this was awakened to me, and some of you know my story. In 1999, I was arrested with a team of 21 people in China from nine nations. I was on my 30th trip into China. I was meditating on that passage in Mark one morning. You'd read it. "You will be arrested and brought to trial on account of me, but don't worry what you're to say, for the Holy Spirit will speak." I did what I should do. I meditated. I said, "I wonder if one day, Lord, I might be arrested." 5 hours later, we were. Friends, God knows where you're going to read your Bible this morning, whether you're a systematic Bible reader or a flipper. You know, the flipper, just, "Oh, God, speak to me today." He went forth and no. God knows where you're going to read. Yet when they arrested me, interrogated me and took me in and were under arrest, I had no passport. The next day I was three people. They'd flown down from Beijing and they were really wanted to know this guy's shock horror. 30 trips into China, he's still got books and Bibles, people from nine nations. Where's he been? What trouble's he up to? And I was fearful because they were threatening. They were going to beat me. They were going to treat me the same as the Chinese people. And all I could do was do my darndest to stop my knees from knocking. I'm thinking, God, where are you? Have you taken a day off today? Good thing God doesn't take a day off. And then in the midst of my interrogation over 3 hours, the Holy Spirit spoke just these simple words, "I have given you all authority to go into all the world." I thought, yes, Almighty God has given me all authority. These Chinese Gongang are telling me I'm a criminal. But the God of the universe has given me all authority. Friends, in that moment, I was totally changed. I was full of boldness. God has given to you and I all authority because he sent us. And I don't think the devil minds if people are sent, but if they awaken to the authority that's in heaven is theirs, he's finished. It's all over, Red Rover. It's finished. And there is an awakening. I said to the Chinese, I need to tell you guys the whole story. They said, it's about time. It's about time. So I said, it goes back to 1983. I said, Busher, that's too far back. This was 1989. I said, no, I want this on my statement. This has to do while you arrested me in China. I said, 1983, a Chinese man I was working with in Fiji shared with me the love of Jesus. My whole life was changed. My whole direction and purpose in life changed. And I want you to know that I'll be internally indebted to the Chinese people. I will never be able to repay them for their kindness. That's why I come to China to bring books and Bibles. I'm trying to repay the Chinese. What an answer. I never thought of that, friends. Never thought of that. I'm not smart enough to think of that. They were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. They fingerprinted me and let me go. Hallelujah. When you and I awaken to the authority that God has given to us, the church will be transformed. It will no longer be the tail. It will be the head that God has destined it to be. Hallelujah. And there is an awakening. There is a stirring happening in the world today. Hallelujah. Praise be Jesus. So let's see how Jesus sent his disciples. Let's come back to our text. It says this, verse 21. And again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." After saying this, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He went, whew. Wow, that must have felt good for the first time. Jesus breathing and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, he didn't just send them, but he equipped them. Guess what, friends? Now, that same Holy Spirit that he breathed upon them is within you and I. Amen? That same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit in Mongolia, same Holy Spirit in China. It's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus breathed. He breathed into us. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Be equipped." But then he said later, "Don't go, don't leave until you be endured. I've given you a deposit. Now I want you to be filled." And we know at Pentecost, the transformation that took place where they went out and preached the gospel, hallelujah, with fire, fire from on heaven. You know, I hear people say, if only I knew what God's will for my life was. If only I knew what God wanted me to do, I could do it. You need to question no longer, friends. I'm going to tell you that this morning. You are sent ones. You're sent into your workplace, into the communities that you work with, into the homes that you live by. You're sent one. You are a sent one. Now, how that looks for it will look different for each one of us, but we're sent ones primarily. We are sent ones. The will of the Father is no different to the will of Jesus, to redeem mankind back to the Father and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's what we're called to do. It'll look different in each one of us, but we're called to bring this message, to redeem mankind back to Jesus and to bring heaven to earth. Jesus made the will of God very plain when he gave them the Lord's Prayer. And we know this scripture in Matthew 6, verse 9. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's the Father's will, to bring heaven to earth. to bring heaven to earth. I love how Bill Johnson says it. He says, God has not kept his desires secret. He wants the reality of heaven to invade this rebel-torn world, to transform it, to bring it under his headship. What is free to operate in heaven? Joy, peace, wisdom, health, wholeness, and all the other good promises we read about should be free to operate on this planet. In your home, in your church, in your business, in your school. And what is not free to operate in heaven, sickness, disease, bondage, sin, should not be free to operate here. That is, in a nutshell, what our assignment on earth is. The moment you were born and I were born again, God could have gone, beam me up, Scotty, and I'm out of here. Some of you are thinking that probably wouldn't be a bad idea, but you would have missed out. Some of your people here are wondering, why, Lord, why are you keeping me alive? Like, you know, I know where I'm going. I'm taking up oxygen. Well, the Father knows that. But he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose here for you. We're not just called to preach the good news. We're to demonstrate that the kingdom of God is here. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 10. He says, as you go. Preach, yeah, we're to preach. But the kingdom, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. Hallelujah. Yes, we're to preach it, but we're also to demonstrate it. You know, and I've seen a measure of healings over the years. If I'm totally honest, I've seen more people not healed than have been healed. And it frustrates me. I've seen a measure of it. I've seen God do amazing things, and particularly overseas. I don't know why God chooses. It's the same Holy Spirit. But there's a stirring within my heart. I want more. As I mentioned, I work in aged care. I had a lady who was, I thought, come to the end of her life, 88 years of age, a good Catholic. She was going downhill. She had an infection in her system, and I went in to see her in a hospital, and she was near the end. Her daughter was there. She said, the specialist said, Mum's signs are going down. Finished. Only hours. I've called the Catholic priest. She was a Catholic. No sooner that I left, there was a knock at the door. Catholic priest came in, lovely guy, said, look, I'm the priest, I've called. And I said, I'm the chaplain. And they said, I said, no, you're the Catholic priest. Said, you pray, I'll watch. So we prayed this lovely prayer. It wasn't long, a few symbolisms. They're busy people. And he had to go to pray for someone else. And I thought, okay, so that's it, is it? It's all over. I didn't say this, of course, but I'm thinking, well, that was quick. What do I do now? I mean, how can I upstage that one? How do I pray? So I said to the daughter, I said, how would you feel if I pray for you? She said, oh, that'd be nice. And as I said it, the Lord said, and what about her? And I'm wrestling in my mind. You know how God doesn't take a long time to get through? He said, pray for her. I'm thinking, no, this is not a good look. The Catholic priest has just prayed that she's going to die. You want me to pray that she comes to life? I thought, okay, Lord, here we go. I said, well, how would you feel if I not only prayed for you, but prayed for your mother if it's not her right time? She said, oh, that'd be wonderful. So I did. And I prayed for her. And I phoned at the end of the day, and she was still alive. Shock horror. I phoned the next day, and she's getting better. I went in to see her the following day, and she's looking good. 2 weeks later, they said, sorry, we can't keep you here. You've got to go back. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. And I believe that God is going to speak to you in things that don't look natural, and things that are going to confuse your mind. And I'm saying, God, I want more of this. God, I want more of this. I've been content too long to just not accept, but I believe we're living in different days. You know, the enemy is increasing. The tactics, wickedness, evil is increasing. Don't you think God is going to increase his anointing? Don't you think in the midst of this hour when he is increasing that God is going to increase his anointing? He's going to ratchet it up, and he's looking for people. He's looking for people who will say, yeah, I'm sent by God. I'm sent by God. How did God send Jesus? And I'm finished with this. How did he send him? Well, Philippians gives us an idea. He gives us some idea in Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself to no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of a man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He went from heaven's riches to earthly rags, from exaltation to humiliation, from authority to obedience, from ultimate significance to ultimate rejection, from comfort to hardship, from safety to danger, from life to death. And he calls you and I to go in exactly the same way. If we're honest, that's not what we want. We want more significance. We want more attention. We want more comfort. But Jesus calls us to die to ourselves. I wonder, have we not moved? And I'm speaking to myself. I wonder, have we not moved in the authority because we've not been willing to take upon us the same mind as Christ? To be a servant, to wash his feet. You know, he said to his disciples the last thing, and he took a bowl and a basin. He said, now, as you've seen me, go and do likewise. I wonder, is God not calling us more to take upon the mindset of Jesus, to take upon his heart? Does your attitude and mine match the best of Jesus? Are we willing to take the gospel of humility? Are we willing to retire, redeem this mankind? Are we willing to take upon ourselves that? You know, there's no place too uncomfortable, no place too dangerous, no place too unlikely. Well, Jesus is saying, will you allow me to send you there? Will you allow me to send you there? Let me finish this morning as we put that last slide up. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. What would our days on earth look like if I started each day by reminding myself I'm a sent one? That earth is not my home. My citizenship is in heaven. But God has allowed me to be on earth for another day. We don't know how long we've got. Tragically, the enemy says, oh, don't get too excited about it. Put off. You've got plenty of time. Don't get serious about it. We only got today. We only got today. Good, well-meaning people. That's all we've got. What would our world look like if we said, Father, I'm not my own. I'm yours. I don't belong to myself. I'm yours. You bought me with a price. And now I want to be a sent one. At this time of Christmas, when we're reminded that God so loved the world that he sent his son, what would happen if each one of us said, God, thank you for this Christmas message I'm reminded, but now I am a sent one. God, if I've lacked my authority, if I've forgotten what I've lacked, Lord, today awaken me. Awaken my heart to see that you not only sent me, but you gave me authority, that I want to be the one. We finish with a story of a man who's just come out of prison in Mongolia, 30 years in prison. If I mentioned his name in Mongolia, people go, oh, we know him. A bit like Edgar Cook, if I mentioned back in the 70s, notorious serial killer. First 20 years in prison, he was a rascal, caused all sorts of mischief. 10 years ago, he got saved, gloriously saved. He's now been leader of the prison in one of the hardcore prisons in Mongolia. Turned it round. The prison's authority couldn't wait to get rid of him. He was causing so much trouble. No, in a good way, bringing people to Christ. He's come out. He's living in our centre. We're skilling him, giving him some skills as a chicken farmer and as a baker. But he has a desire now. He wants to be a pastor. Can you believe it? He says, I understand. I understand my life was not, and Father rescued me. Jesus rescued me. Now I want to go with him. And the fire in his belly, I know he's going to turn the world upside down, Mongolia. What would happen if God did that to you and I? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are reminded this morning, that simple message, but so profound, as the Father sent you, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Lord, I pray, stir our hearts, awaken our hearts, put within us, God, this longing and this desiring that I want to be like Jesus. He's not coming back again until it's all over. In the meantime, all the world has got with me. God, awaken my heart. Stir my heart. Stir my heart, Lord, that I will not be the same as I come to the end of 2017 and look at 2018. God, I pray. God, I pray that I would be a sent one and I would begin to see signs and wonders, things that I've turned away for. I would say, oh, I don't care. It doesn't make sense, but I'm praying. God, I have authority. I'm going to heal the sick. I want to see deliverance. I want a chains broken. Hallelujah. That the name of Jesus might be glorified. Hallelujah. I'd want to say that song we did, the Hope is Rising. What was the song we did at the end? Could we finish with that? My Hope. Yeah, could we do that? Could we do that? That'd be wonderful. God bless you. Look, I want to pray for people this morning. I don't have any specific words at the moment anyway. But if you have a need here this morning, and I've been prayed probably 50 times and nothing's happened, well, I'm going to pray the 51st time. Maybe today could be the day. I have a new faith in my heart, okay? I want to see God do something. Hallelujah. There's nothing in me. It's this beautiful name. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Hallelujah.